Good morning, everyone. This is your teacher, Sister Velma Jean Sanders of the Contemporary Bible class, and I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. If we have any first-time people with us this morning, we are glad that you are here. We welcome you. Anyone is invited to join this class. We study the Word of God. We are some of God's many people gathering together in the name of Jesus to study His Word. We are currently studying from the Gospel according to Luke, and today is February the 21st in the year 2021, and we are continuing in our study of Luke chapter 11. That's where we are right now. Our goal is to go through the entire book. So we find ourselves now in Luke chapter 11, and our main verses today will be verses 21 through 26. Let's say 28, verses 21 through 28. Now, I already realize Carolyn in Texas says they're— let me see what her chat says, because we want to pray for the people in Texas. So Carolyn says, we're doing great in spite of the unprecedented circumstances. Thanks so much for your prayers. So we want to continue to keep people in dire conditions in Texas, Mississippi, and really all over. There's a lot going on. So we want to pray for hurting humanity and pray for one another. We're going to continue in Luke chapter 11 this morning. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Blessed God, our Father, who art in heaven, we hallow your great name. We bless your name. We praise your name. Glory to the name of the Lord, and glory to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Redeemer and our Savior. We praise you, God, the three in one. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Word of God. We thank you for your Word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And now we ask you, Spirit of the living God, that you would give us an ear to hear what it is that you have to say to us this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins and anything that would hinder us from receiving from you. We pray, dear Lord, forgive. We lift up one another in prayer. We lift up every situation within our classmates, whatever may be going on within their lives, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the Contemporary Bible class. We lift up each one and each concern to you. And you have told us in your word, cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. We pray for those without water, without power, in dire conditions, cold, Lord God. We pray for them in Texas. We pray for them in Mississippi. And then so many dire conditions all over the world. We lift it up to you. We thank you that you are a God of mercy. We thank you that you are a God of love. And we pray for needs, Lord, that you will make ways for needs to be provided. And then we pray, Lord God, that someone who does not know you in the pardoning of their sins would come to know you, Father, even through dire circumstances. Take it, Lord. Take even hurtful things and use them to your glory. And may many be drawn closer to you, and may many be saved. And now we ask you now, Lord, to be our teacher now. Lead us and guide us in truth, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bibles in hand. Most of you know that I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible, but if we have some new people with us, they may not know that. So New King James Version is the text, is the version that I use for teaching. Today, we will be concentrating, as I have said, on Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 28. I already know that this is part one. Our topic is spiritual warfare. That is the topic that we will be studying on today, is spiritual warfare. It is going to be a part one. This is not going to be a big teaching on spiritual warfare, because we could spend months on that. But we are studying the gospel according to Luke, so we have to keep moving on in Luke. However, I am going to take time today, and Lord willing on next week, to look at this matter of spiritual warfare, because it affects us all. Do you not realize, as Christians, we are born again children of God? I pray that you have truly been born again. There is a difference between being born again and just believing. And we do believe. The scripture has says we have to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. But Jesus also said, this is where you need the whole Bible. Jesus said, you must be born again. And so if anyone is sitting out here, sitting in class, and you do not have the assurance of your salvation, that does not mean you are not saved. Perhaps you are not. But it is possible to truly be born again and to truly be a child of God and not have that assurance. That was my condition years ago, that I was not sure of my salvation. So if you're not assured of your salvation, and the only one who can give you that blessed assurance is God himself. And so you ask the Lord, you ask and you seek him until you can really sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. So you want to seek the Lord and ask him, Father, let me know that I am indeed a child of God. I have been born again. Well, when a person is born again, a whole lot of things happen. Now, some years ago, I did a list. I listed some things, and my list is called These Things Happen at the Moment of Salvation. And I have 31 things on this list that happens, and I'm sure it's not an exhaustive list. But some of the things that happen when a person is born again is we are adopted into the family of God. And all these things happen simultaneously at the new birth. We are adopted into the family of God. We are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ at the new birth. And I could go on and on with things that happen when we are born again. But one thing that happens when we're born again, in light of our topic today, spiritual warfare, is we are enlisted in the army of God. When you become a child of God, truly born again, you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I think of an old song we used to sing, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. And then we sing songs such as, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. There are many warfare songs. We're not as hearing as many songs, warfare songs today, but we are indeed in a spiritual warfare. And so once a person is born again, praise the Lord. Praise God, we have been born again. We rejoice in that. That is our joy and our salvation. We joy in our salvation and that our names are written in the book of life. Praise the Lord. But we need to be aware. We need to be aware. The moment you become a child of God, you are enlisted in the army of the Lord. Here in Luke chapter 11, as we have seen for the last several weeks, in chapter 11 of Luke, beginning at verse 14, all the way through chapter 12, verse 12 is a passage on conflict. Now, it is conflict, but today I want to use the terminology, it is spiritual warfare. We see the kingdom of God headed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 20, Luke chapter 11, verse 20, Jesus is talking, And he says, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus Christ, as the king of this kingdom of God, Jesus lets us know there is a kingdom, and the kingdom of God has come, at least in part. There are different aspects to the kingdom of God. But because Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit, indeed the Christ, he is the Christ, anointed by the Holy Spirit, in verse 20, Jesus cast out demons. That is spiritual warfare terminology, casting out demons with the finger of God. And you hear that phrase, the finger of God, back in Exodus, where the Egyptian magicians, they were able to counterfeit several of those miracles. But then there came a time, one of those miracles that God used Moses to bring about, the magicians could not do. And the magician said, this is the finger of God. In other words, the power of God, the Spirit of God. So we see the kingdom of God in verse 20, but also when we go back up a few verses, verse 18, Luke chapter 11, verse 18, here's the other kingdom. And there's only two kingdoms, ultimately. Now, having said that, I need to say above all of it is God. God is reigning over everything. God reigns over it all. He is the king, the almighty God on the throne. He reigns. Verse 17, in light of our topic, we have these two kingdoms. So in verse 17, we see, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? So there's the two kingdoms that are in conflict, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, those two kingdoms. The Bible, there's a lot in the Bible. Many things are in this Bible. Matter of fact, everything, well, God hasn't told us everything, so everything about everything is not in this Word of God. There's much that he has not revealed to us. But I want you to know there is a whole lot of things in this Bible. And unless you are reading the Bible on your own, stay in good Bible studies. You need good Bible studies. And I qualified, I said good Bible studies. Anytime there's a true Bible study, it's good. God measures out and God portions the food. There are some that are better than others. That's just a fact, as it is with most things. But you want to be in a good Bible study where you're really in the Word of God. And I say that because if you're not in the Word of God for yourself, reading on your own, studying on your own, praying on your own, do you not know most things you will not hear about? You will not hear about most things unless you're in the Bible for yourself. And that's not all bad. You know, God knows how in his wisdom for us to get into the Word of God for ourselves. And so this passage in Luke chapter 11 is a passage of conflict. It is a passage of warfare. It starts right out in verse 14, and he, Jesus, casting out a demon. And that is warfare. Jesus, the king, the anointed one, Jesus who cares about mankind. There was an evil spirit that was inside of a man, and these kingdoms came together. The kingdom of the devil had a demon that was inside of a man. But here comes Jesus, and Jesus cast out a demon. That is warfare. And then we go to verse 15, and we're going to notice how many times the words cast out is in this passage. You see it in verse 15, but some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebub. Then you go on down to verse 19, and verse 19 says, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Verse 20. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God. So all of that has to do with spiritual warfare. Then we get to verse 21. Now, it's also spiritual warfare, but the terminology changes. We see in verse 21, when a strong man, well, this is not talking about just a muscle man. This is a strong man that is fully armed. And you have to think military now. You have to think of the military, and you also think of our armory, because it says here, a strong man, fully armed, guards, he's guarding his own palace. So we have a strong man. He's fully armed. And you think of all the weapons of warfare that you can think of. So there's this strong man, fully armed, doing what? Guarding. He is guarding his own palace. But then we get to verse 22, talking about spiritual warfare. And here comes an opponent. And in verse 22, a stronger than he. Here comes somebody stronger than the strong man. And what does he do? Warfare. It says in verse 22, but when a stronger than he comes where? Comes upon him. He takes over. He comes upon him and overcomes him. He overcomes the strong man and he takes from him. That's spiritual warfare. He takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, and he divides his spoils. And then in the midst of this, in verse 23 is a kingdom law. It is a kingdom law. It is also a warning in verse 23. Verse 23, you got to choose sides. Verse 23 says, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. There's only two sides. You're either in the kingdom of the Lord or in the kingdom of Satan. There are only two sides. And so I choose to be with Jesus all the way. And I pray you could say the same thing for yourself, with Jesus all the way. And so we're in Sunday school this morning. Life Development Ministry Sunday School, but really we're in the Word of God, so we can become good soldiers. We want to be a good soldier. And I believe those words are in either 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, a good soldier, fighting the good fight. Spiritual warfare. Then we go on down to verse 24, and verse 24 says, an unclean spirit goes out of a man, goes through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He says, I will return to my house. Verse 25, he comes back to that house. Verse 26, and he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And so this passage is full of spiritual warfare all the way through chapter 12, verse 12. We're going to read our passage soon, but I'm introducing and also going to give a review now. So what we saw on last week and for the last several weeks in verse 14, in Luke chapter 11, verse 14, and this is what launches the rest of the passage. In verse 14, we see Luke chapter 11, verse 14, and he, Jesus, was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. And so what we see in this verse and what we have seen on previous weeks is there was a man, and we found out it was a man, that this man had an evil spirit. The evil spirit was mute. The man was not mute himself. The evil spirit, which was mute, had entered into that man and caused that man to not be able to hear. And then Matthew lets us know, and also not be able to see. It was because of a wicked spirit in that person. Well, Jesus cast out that demon. And once Jesus cast out that demon, then the man was able to speak and the man was able to see, because the demon that had brought on the blindness and the muteness had been cast out, and Jesus set that man free. So now we see that happened. The correct response would have been praise the Lord. That would have been the appropriate, correct response. But because we're in this topic of warfare, we're going to see that was not the response. There were three reactions. Let me use that word, reactions. There are three reactions to Jesus casting out this demon. The first reaction we saw last week, or week before last, is in verse 14. First reaction of the people is they marveled. Their mouths were wide open. They were amazed, and that they marveled. That does not mean that they were born again. That does not mean that they were true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not mean that they were his disciples. It just simply says the multitudes marveled. That's reaction number one. Reaction number two we saw on last week is in verse 15. Some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So reaction number two is blasphemy. They blasphemed, blasphemy of the spirit. And they caused Jesus, this group here in verse 15, some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebub. They lied on Jesus, and they accused Jesus of being satanic. They accused the Lord Jesus Christ of being used by the devil. That is reaction number two. Reaction number three is in verse 16. And verse 16 says, others tested him. And they tested him, and they sought from him a sign from heaven. In other words, Jesus, we want to do more. Yeah, you cast out that demon, but can you do something else? Can you fly up in the air, and can you do something else? And so that third reaction was, yeah, we saw him do that, but can you do something else? They sought from him a sign. And so those are the three reactions. On last week, we saw for each reaction, Jesus had a response. Jesus had a response to all the reactions, to the crowd that marveled. And up from that crowd arises a woman in verse 27. Verse 27, out of the crowd, this woman arises from the crowd, raised her voice, and she offered a false praise. This too is spiritual warfare, because this woman is seeking to diminish the Christ. She is seeking to divert the attention from Jesus and put the attention on someone else. She raised her voice. You see that? Raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. So that's spiritual warfare as well, where she is seeking to, Satan using her to divert the attention from Christ, to belittle the Christ, to misrepresent the Christ, to diminish Jesus. That is the work of the devil. He's always trying to diminish the Christ and replace him. Ultimately, Satan wants to replace the Christ with another. And in this case, it is blessed is the womb that bore you, where he's seeking to misrepresent the Christ, move the Christ, replace the Christ with someone else. And here we see Mary. Ultimately, it will be the Antichrist. So that is warfare as well. And Jesus responds to each of their reactions. Now, this may be part one of three or four, because I'm still in review. So we'll see how the Lord leads us this week. But review is good. The first reaction, when Jesus cast out that demon, the first reaction was they marveled. The response of Jesus is in verse 28. In verse 27, when that woman arose, verse 28, Jesus comes back. And Jesus, yielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Jesus says in verse 28, but he, Jesus, said, more than that. He said, yeah, you're right. Mary is blessed. And we're not going to take that away. Jesus himself, the angel from God, told Mary she was blessed. So, yes, she's blessed, but she does not replace the Christ. And so Jesus in verse 28 says more than that. In other words, he's saying that's true, but more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. There's two parts there. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that's how Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed are they that read, blessed are they that hear, blessed are they that keep. And so Jesus responds and says, blessed are they who hear and keep the word of God. In verse 15, where the crowd reacted to the miracle of casting out the demon, verse 15, some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebub. And Jesus responds to their accusation. Jesus responds to that lie. It was a lie because the devil is a liar. That's his chief weapon, is lies. And so Jesus comes back in verse 17 and he gives his response to that lie. And then in verse 16, where they were testing him and wanted a sign from him, Jesus responds to that is starting in verse 29. In verse 29, where he says, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign. And then he responds to that. And so this is full of warfare. That's our review for today. Let me keep going because time is marching on. So we have seen this is conflict and this is warfare and this is spiritual warfare. Well, what do you mean? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Spiritual. Keep in mind that word, spiritual warfare. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And so when we want to be careful, Satan uses people. He uses people. He'll use us if he can. He uses people. But behind it is a spiritual enemy. There is spirits. So we're talking about spiritual warfare. Who's the opponents? Well, first of all, there is God. Satan ultimately is the enemy of God. Satan hates God. Satan hates God. Let me just say it like that. Satan hates God. He hates Jesus. He hates the Holy Spirit. He hates everything that God does. He hates everything God represents. Satan hates goodness. Satan hates righteousness. Satan hates peace. Anything you can think of that is of God. The thief comes to steal it, to kill it, and to destroy. Now, he has a whole bunch of substitutes. He has a lot of substitutes. He has a substitute for joy. He has a substitute for peace. He wants to make you think you have love, joy, and peace, but he has replaced it with a counterfeit. So the spiritual warfare, ultimately, we're talking about Satan, enemy of God. He is the enemy of God. Now, this Bible that we study, I said a lot's in the Bible. Well, from Genesis to Revelation, it is warfare, warfare, warfare going on. Now, I don't want you to think God is not worried. God is not upset. God is not threatened. Are you all with me? God is God, and nothing happens without God. All power comes from God. Even the very power that God has allowed in his wisdom, which we don't understand all these things, we're not supposed to, but even that very power comes from God. The devil can do no more than God allows him to do. However, God has allowed him to do to an extent. So the warfare is Satan's hatred of God. But Satan also hates mankind. Satan hates mankind, all of mankind. He hates men. He hates women. He hates children. He hates babies. He hates babies in the womb. He hates old people. He hates everybody. He hates us all. He hates all mankind. Now, this is Lord, help me, because I'm laying the background for spiritual warfare. So we may be here who knows how many weeks until God moves us on. When we are born into this world, now, when we're first born, I mentioned we were born again. When you are born again, you are what? Well, we're born in Adam, our natural birth. We come in here of Adam. We come in here in the human race with all of us having Adam as our forefather. But then Jesus sent his son. And that's part of why the virgin birth, why Jesus had to come another way without Adam. Jesus came another way, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He came as the second man and the last Adam. So when Jesus comes, and this is the importance of, you must be born again, because we have to get in Christ. We have to get in Christ to be born again. Now, when we're first born, When we're first born, naturally, we come in here, little bitty, sweet little babies. But do you not know? Don't fool yourself. Satan hates those sweet little babies. And that was all of us. Now, we're not sweet little babies anymore, but we are that same person, just grown up. And all throughout life, there has been this enemy against us. We have a personal enemy. And as Christians, we need to know that. We need to be aware that we have an enemy. Now, we're in Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. However, we still are on the battlefield. Let's look at a scripture in Psalm. Now let's turn to Psalm 107, the 107th number of Psalms. Psalm 107. So the 107th number of Psalm. We have heard this scripture. If you've been in church any length of time, you have heard this passage. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, the correct response, because the command has been given, give thanks to the Lord. And so our response, and you have to do it on your own, "Lord, I thank you." So you have to say that, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you because you are good. I thank you that your mercy endures forever." And now the Bible's going to start commenting on why, how he is good and how is it his mercy endures forever. Verse 2. This is the verse I want. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Redeemed. That's something that happens when you're born again. I've been bought with a price. We were in the slave market of sin. We were bound by the devil, held by him. But Jesus came, paid the price. That's what redemption means. Bought with a price. And so Jesus, it says, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's something else we need to be saying. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he, the Lord, has redeemed, brought us out, bought us out of the slave market of sin, Satan, and his kingdom. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So that's where we were. When we read Luke 11, the whole psalm, I may come back to it, but let's go back to Luke 11. And I mentioned on last week, in type, in illustration, we were that man in verse 14. In picture form, in type form, in symbolic form, we were that man held captive by the demon. But Jesus came, redeemed us, and he did what to us? The psalm says he redeemed us from the hand. That's that strong man. That strong man, the devil, had his hand on us, the enemy, the hand of the enemy. And so that's where we all were. We were in the hand of the enemy. And we say, thanks be to God. Then Jesus came. That's what we say as the redeemed. Then Jesus came. Let's go back to Luke chapter 11. Then Jesus came and he was stronger than the enemy. He is stronger than the strong man. And he redeemed me. Now, throughout this week, I'm going to give you an assignment, quote, an assignment. I want you to go back in your life. We are redeemed. We have been born again, but we didn't come into this world born again. Think about your life. And if things would have continued in the trajectory of wherever you were before you were born again, where would you have been? If the Lord had not stepped into your life, where would you be? Well, we know we would have been lost, but think about where you were, what you were doing, what was going on in your life. If Jesus had not stepped in, where would you be? That's a good thing to think on. That is a good thing to think about. And we really don't know. But if you think about the trajectory of a thing, you know, when a bullet goes forth, it's shot. And it goes, that bullet goes, and that trajectory. And if we would have stayed on the trajectory of our lives, where would we have been if Jesus had not stepped in? So aren't you glad he stepped in? Yes, I'm glad he stepped into my life. Now let's look and redeemed me. He beat up that devil. He did it at Calvary. He beat him up, crushed his head, and took away from him the goods. Amen. And that was us. So let's go to another scripture in the New Testament. In the New Testament, let's go to Colossians, the book of Colossians. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Then you get to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, so I'm trying to turn my page, and let's go to Colossians. I imagine some of you are trying to turn your page as well. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. When we look at Colossians chapter 1, and I'm just looking at isolated verses here. Colossians chapter 1, verse, we could back all the way up, but time is moving. So let's look at verse 12, Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. And it reads, give him thanks to the Father That's how Psalm started. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Now notice the tense. Psalm said he has redeemed us. Past tense. Once you're born again, you have been redeemed. You can't be re-redeemed. Once he's bought you out, you are his. So here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That is something that has happened to us as born again Christians. He has delivered us. You see that word delivered? And we talk about deliverance, and we talk about spiritual warfare, and we talk about deliverance. Well, Jesus did spiritual warfare on our behalf. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's where all of us were. We were in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus has delivered us from the power. You can't talk this and not get excited, because Satan is stronger than all of us. All of us put together, we could not redeem ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. We didn't even know we needed saving. We were loving some of those sins that we were doing. We were blind and we were dark, in darkness. But Jesus came, and it says he delivered us. And in some things, we wanted to be delivered, but we didn't have the power to do it. Then Jesus comes. And verse 12, 13 here in Colossians chapter 1, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us. You know, that's moving us. I think of a conveyor belt. And old King James says translated us. And he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You all see that movement? So once you're born again, if any man be in Christ, now you're in Christ, been delivered from the power of darkness, conveyed, translated in Christ into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That was the price. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's how the strong man keeps people bound, through lies and through sin. Well, we have a few more minutes, so let's keep going here. So I wanted us to see we enter into this world in warfare. Satan has us bound, and his objective with all humanity is to keep us bound. But we as the redeemed, we give thanks to God that we have been delivered. And how did that deliverance come about? By the blood of Jesus, by the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how it comes about, through faith, by grace, through faith. And so God has translated us. But then we still have to remember, just because you've been born again does not mean that you don't have an enemy. Satan is the enemy of all mankind, even the lost. So think about that. Why? He already has the lost. The lost, now we are here as Christians to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to let people know that a Savior has come. You don't have to go to hell since price has been paid. Repent. We're here to tell people to do that. But Satan, enemy of people, he already has people lost. People are already lost in sin, on their way to hell. But Satan still tries to do everything he can to do what? Keep them lost. That's his objective, is to keep them lost. And so when we look at Luke chapter 11 here, verse 21, now this was going to be our passage for today, and it still is. But But verse 21 says, when a strong man, fully armed. Now you got to picture this. You got to, first of all, it's a strong man. Then on top of the strong man, he is fully armed. He doesn't have one weapon. He's fully armed. He's fully armed, and he's doing what? Guarding his palace. That's what Satan was doing to us too. Guarding his palace, his own palace. And it says there, his goods are in peace. And so that's what the enemy was seeking to do with us and is seeking to do today to all of lost humanity. Well, the devil is the strong man. He is fully armed and he guards his own palace. Well, the palace, what's the palace? The palace is the people. The people is the palace. That's the palace. He's guarding the palace, which is mankind, humanity. He's seeking to guard the palace. And his armor, he's fully armed. Well, let's think about his armor. How does he keep people bound? What are his methods? What are the instruments that he uses to keep people bound, including us, before we were saved? And then let me say this, interject this now. Even today, Satan is still keeping, searching, seeking to keep us bound. Even as Christians, he does not want us to be effective. He wants us to remain in spiritual ignorance. He wants us to be complacent. He wants us to be half asleep. He doesn't want us to proclaim the whole truth. He wants to water down the word through us. He has many weapons against the saved and against the unsaved. So let's look at fully armed, what is part of his armory. Well, I wrote down a list of things, and you can be thinking about your own list. So what are some of the methods that he uses and used to keep people bound? Well, his main weapon is lies. That's his main weapon. The devil is a liar. That's his number one weapon, is to lie and to deceive. He's a liar and deceiving. That's number one. Then he uses the big weapon of fear. He keeps many people bound through fear. It could be fear of any number of things, including the fear of people. I would come to Jesus, but if I do that, then I lose my friends. That's peer pressure. That could be a weapon he uses, is fear, which is manifested in millions of ways. He uses the weapon of complacency and procrastination. I'll put it off. I'll pray later. That's what he says to us. You know you need to pray. Well, let me do this first. And that's procrastination. That's a weapon he uses against us to keep us not sharp, to keep us not fully armed. But I'm talking now primarily about unbelievers, but I want you to know he's our enemy as well. So complacency is a method that the devil uses, and procrastination. Put it off. He uses that with a lot of people as far as being saved, especially young people. Put it off until you're older. You know, you can think about that. Bitterness. Bitterness is a method, a tool, a weapon that he uses to yoke people in and keep them bound. Unforgiveness and bitterness and rebellion, all of that to keep people bound. Their upbringing, how they've been brought up. And if you were brought up in a good family, I praise the Lord. I was brought up in a good family. Praise the Lord. No family is perfect, but I thank God for my upbringing. But that's no guarantee of salvation, you all. Still have an enemy. But it does help. It helps a lot. And so upbringing is a method Satan uses to keep people bound, their home life. And through parents, different things through parents and generations. And Satan uses those things. Pride, that's another big weapon and method that the Satan uses, is pride. And then there's anger. He gets people bound up in anger and hate. Then here comes hate and anger and rage. And he gets people bound. And then there's the environment, all kinds of environments that he uses, and that would fit up under home life as well, but also other things, environment, idolatry. If you can get someone bound up in idolatry and other gods and serving other gods, he does that. That's one way he uses to keep people from Jesus. Ambition. It could be ambition for business, ambition for riches, ambition for whatever, just ambition. And ambition in and of itself is not bad. But keep in mind, Satan uses those things to keep people bound. Habits, all kinds of habits that the devil uses. And sins, well, sin is the cause of it all, sins. And that works out in a million ways, is how sin, the different avenues of sins. There are habits, all kinds of habits that Satan gets people bound up in. And we can think of our own life where God stepped in and helped us and delivered us from some things. It is the Lord, even after we were saved. Now, this is coming to me, so I'm going to say it now before it leaves me. You think, let's go to John real quick. John chapter 11. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 11. The story of God, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I want you to see it in type. We were the ones who were raised from the dead, spiritually dead. We were spiritually dead, but Jesus raised us. Amen? Amen. So I want you to see this in type. You know, the Bible has many layers, many facets to the Word of God. So John chapter 11, verse 43. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus had died, Jesus's friend Lazarus. There are two Lazaruses in the Bible, but this is Jesus's friend. Verse 43, John chapter 11, verse 43. Now, when he, Jesus, had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. Now, let me stop there. One reason, main reason we are saved is because he called us. He called us. He called us. He called us unto himself. And so here in John chapter 11, Jesus cried out. We have 3 minutes. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. All right. So in type for us, that's the new birth, us being born again. For Lazarus, it was physically coming back to life. But in type, it represents us being born again. Lazarus, come forth. And we came forth from spiritual death. But look at verse 44. And he who had died, that's us spiritually dead, he who had died did what? Came out bound. That's us. Came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So that in type, that being us, even after the new birth, even after coming forth, there are still some things that bind us. We still need the Lord to loose us. We still need grave clothes, as it were, to come off from us. And so we ask Jesus day by day. That's the work of sanctification, sanctifying us and making us holy, causing us to be more and more like Jesus. But we thank God, verse 44, he who had died came out bound hand and foot, but he was alive. But some are born again. We're born again, but many are still born with born again selves, still wrapped up in old clothes, still wrapped up in grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, and this is part of the word of God, even what we're doing in Bible study, our time is up, so I'm going to say this and go into prayer. Part of what's loosing us and letting us go is the word of God. Cutting away bondages and cutting away things that have bound us. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. In this minute, we give you glory and honor. We praise you, great Redeemer. We praise you. We had no hope. There was no hope. But then Jesus came, and we thank you for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I would be lost on my way to hell, maybe even there right now. But Jesus came and he saved me, and he saved us, and we want to say thank you. Now help us, Lord, to walk in newness of life. And wherever we're bound, we ask you to set us free by the power of the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, break every chain. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Be with us this week and keep us in your care. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Great message. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for teaching.
Yes.
God told me to teach. So he told me to teach, and he told me don't hold back. He told me that.
Yes,
Lord.
So praise the Lord. God bless
Amen.
You.
Great message.
Everyone have a great week.
Thank you.
God be the glory.
Yes, God be the glory.
Great
message, Yama. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you, whoever that is. Praise the Lord.
Sandra.
God bless you, Yama.
Sandra, who?
Sandra Benjamin.
Oh, Sandra, gotta say your last
name. How are you?
Sandra in the world.
Great message.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Keep on the holy armor of God. Pray
Thank you, Ben.
God bless you. Think about
God bless you, Ben. Thank you.
It had not been for Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yep, you are. God bless you. Hope to see you again soon.
God bless you.
Bless
nice
you.
Nice to see you, Sandra.
Oh, it's good to see you too. It's such a blessing. It is such a blessing.
Oh, I see you too, Sandra Benjamin. God bless you.
God bless you too, Velma. It was beautiful message. Thank you so much.
Word of God.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Sandra, is this your first time with us?
Actually, this is my second time.
Okay, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Church canceled this morning, so I was able to be with you this morning.
Well,
praise the Lord.
You.
Praise God.
God bless you too.
And all our classes are on my website, godswordalive.net.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank
bless everyone.
You.
Have a great
bless
week.
You too. God be with you too.
Thank you,
ma'am.
God be with you.
Who was that? Was that Elaine?
Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am.
Elaine Derrick?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You were with us. Are you 716?
Yeah.
Elaine Derrick. Okay, I'm going to tune off, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Pray for me. I'll be praying for you.
We will.
Yes. Thank you, Velma.
Bye-bye.